Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the largest segment of our society, to those that know that the world's political, religious, military, economic, academic, and media institutions are corrupt, they have become counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion and presentation of news and ideas over the next 3 hours, is toll-free. It's 877-300-7645. I am Yada. Well, Dr. Michael Baden, who is the acclaimed, they say, we'll put that in air quotes, forensic pathologist, said that Michael Brown, this is the 18-year-old African-American man who had just concluded robbing a convenience store and assaulting its owner, was shot by 6 bullets. So we now have the number. Now, it's a possibility there were 8, he said, but he thinks the number was 6. There are at least 6 that hit him. Baden said there was no sign of physical struggle on Brown's body, other than an abrasion on his forehead, but that might have occurred when he fell face down in the street. He said that the officer's injuries should also be considered before any conclusions are drawn. And that's true. The officer should have been, if he has not been, fully investigated, filmed, photographed, having to provide an on-tape recorded assessment of what occurred. Toxicology reports should have been made on him. There's a lot of things that should have been done. If they were not done, then the police is complicit in a crime cover-up. Right now, this is a quote, from the science point of view, we can't determine which witness's account is most consistent with the forensic findings, Baden said. The pathologist also said that he could not speculate on the order of the gunshot wounds. Now, it's extraordinarily easy, based on his drawing, to indicate what occurred, although I am really disappointed in the quality of what he presented in terms of the precision of his drawings. Exit wounds were only shown on 2 of the shots. Very crude work. The 2 wounds that are to the head indicate that Brown was bending over and facing towards Wilson when he was shot the last 2 times. Wilson hit him with multiple other shots, including to his chest, right side, and neck, jaw, and right arm. Now, that's the journalist's point of view. I do not think that is correct. If you look at a pathology drawing, and there's one available online, many sources have it, of this particular incident, you have to understand the nomenclature for a entry and an exit wound, and they are different. A entry wound is drawn as a circle. An exit wound is drawn with a circle with an X over it. And so what appears to be, if you look at all of the circles and all of the circles with an X, there are 4 that go up the arm, 1 above the right nipple, 1 on the right collarbone, 1 on the right jaw, 1 around the right eye socket, and 1 directly on the top of the head. That's a lot more than 6 shots. 4 on the arm, 2 on the chest, 3 on the head. And I'm not a whiz at math, but that doesn't total 6. It's a shame that journalists are that incompetent. There's a line drawn between the entry wound in the eye, right eye, and the entry wound that is in the right chin, and the exit wound that is on the right collarbone, the one shot. That means that he was facing down, either falling down or bending down, bowing down, any one of those three scenarios of possibility. And the shot went through the bottom part of the eye socket, then through the chin area, and then into the collarbone area where it exited. The other shot that is linked is the upper arm, right about the armpit of the right arm, exiting right above the right nipple. Now, I'm telling you that there is a possibility that the four shots that go up the right arm could have been a man standing there with his arms outstretched, palms forward, in a downward arm surrender position. There is no way this works with an upward arm surrender position. This idea that he's holding his arms up saying, I surrender, doesn't work. But would work with the arms down, except for one thing. There is no way for a bullet to enter the armpit area and exit through the right nipple unless it was shot from behind. And it is very easy to see how the shot through the right thumb, right inside of the right forearm, inside of the right bicep, the right armpit exiting through the nipple, all makes perfect sense if Brown is running away. If you are running towards somebody, you don't have your hands, your palms facing forward. I mean, it would look like America's Funniest Home Videos. I mean, you'd look like a Goonie Bird if you were running with your arms set out to the side forward. But when we run, the position of our palms and the inside of our arms is exactly as you would expect them in this autopsy diagram, if shot from behind, running away from the officer, which is the only explanation for an exit wound above the right nipple. Now, I'm not a pathologist. I am not a coroner, not a medical doctor. These are very crude pictures. But I would encourage you to look at them. And if you can come up with another scenario of a body position where it's possible to have an entry wound below the right armpit and an exit wound above the right nipple, other than he was moving away, walking or running away from the officer, I'm all ears. You know, the drawing where the hands are faced forward, palms facing forward, makes it look like, okay, could have been shot from the front, but that's not possible based on that fourth shot. If I were guessing, based upon what I see here, he was running away when he was shot four times, the gun rising as it, you know, if you shoot, and I don't know how many of you have done this, but if you shoot a semi-automatic pistol, with each subsequent shot, the recoil of the gun has the tendency for the gun to move up. And depending if you're right-handed or left-handed, it will move slightly in one direction or the other. It either moves to the right or to the left. In this particular case, it looks like the gun, if he was moving away, moved to the left from outside to inside. He was getting closer to his target. And that he shot him four times running away. And then the last two shots, with the shot going through the upper arm, which is almost the center of the arm underneath the armpit, I don't think there's any way you can raise your arm after that shot. The only thing is possible. You already had three bullet holes in your hands and arm. You aren't raising your hands, surrendering at that point. But I think that shot spun him around. And the impact, I don't know what the caliber was here, but most police have 9 or 10 caliber guns. And the 9 or 10 millimeter cartridge, when it hits somebody, it's going to spin you around. And I think that last one got him on the arm and chest and literally spun him around. And he was probably at that point, having been shot, this is the fourth time, was in the process of turning around, you know, saying, don't shoot me anymore. You know, that's what one of the witnesses says, don't shoot, I'm not armed. And, you know, he's got that. But the fourth shot spun him around. And, but it not just spun him around, it caused him to fall. And he was beginning to fall, the fifth shot. Then as he's now facing the officer and falling, hit him just below the eye, and the last shot is the only one that would have killed him, the only fatal wound. And it hit him right on the top of the head. And the only way you can do that is he's either falling down, bending down, or kneeling down, facing the officer. Not facing up, facing the ground as the officer shoots him. And so the last shot, the kill shot, he was falling down. Right at the top of the head. There is no way in looking at these pictures that Wilson is going to be able to claim that Brown was a threat to his life and was struggling with him at close range trying to get his gun.
We kind of knew that yesterday, though, when they said that there was no gunpowder on the body. And like you said, these are pretty crude.
Correct.
It's pretty crude documenting of where things are going and things like that. But,
mm-hmm.
but everything you laid out, it fits in. I mean, where everything is and where the exit wounds lined up, because he does have lines drawn behind the, you know, where the bullet went here and then it exited here, things like that. And he was running away.
He was running away.
He would have to be. It's like you said, if you take your arms and go in the motion of running, if I'm running at you, you're going to hit outside of my arms, not the inside.
Right. Correct.
So.
Yep. This is the, what's amazing is, Baden says right now, he says that, the gunshot wounds, he says that specifically, Biden said that the theory that Brown was running away from the officer is not consistent with what he found. Book about the shattering myth. Scott and I have been discussing this during the break. It is, if you look at, again, if you listen to Baden say, the theory that he was running away from the officer is not consistent with what was found. It would certainly be true for the last two shots. And they have to be the last two shots because after the one to the eye that comes out the chin and the collarbone, I mean, you've got a guy that's not going to move anymore. I mean, he is down at that point. The last one to the head, the one to the head absolutely killed him. So it's obvious that the gun is moving up.
Yep.
As he's shooting.
The report I read said that every one of these was survivable except for the shot to the very top of the head.
Correct. So it's easy to see what order. And you know, when you shoot a gun at rapids, it's a semi-automatic pistol. It rises. So, I mean, it's absolutely obvious. You can draw a line from these shots that move up throughout the body, from thumb to forearm to bicep to armpit.
It's pretty
to eyeball to top of head. It's guns moving up. But it is absolutely impossible for two things. One is for the way that these entry and exit wounds are drawn. One to the thumb, one to the up armpit and right nipple. That cannot have been from the front. Both of those had to be from behind.
Well, even the one on the forearm. That one doesn't make any sense to be forward because, like we were talking about, if you put your arms straight down to your side,
right,
that part of your forearm is going to face towards the back.
That is correct.
I mean, it follows your thumb. And
correct.
Same with the bicep one and the armpit one.
Right.
I mean, I feel like at least those four he's getting hit from behind.
Has to be. You know, if you raise your hands up above your head, everybody do it now. Everybody listening, raise your hands above your head. Which way are your palms and your forearms facing? Forward. right? If you put your arms down, which way are your palms and forearms facing? Backwards. The shot that that's entered around the wrist and came out through the meaty part of the thumb before the first joint could only have been from behind. That forearm shot, it is far more likely it was from behind than from forward, because guess which way? I mean, I've shot a lot of semi-automatic pistols. I have, I don't have a 10mm, but I have 8 and 9mm pistols. And never, I mean, if you watch somebody shoot a pistol, never does the gun go down. Never. It always goes up. This could not have been from the front with his hands up in the air. It's impossible.
No, and especially the one on the thumb, if he's reaching for the cop, like you could say, oh, he was reaching for him there, and that's when he got hit there. There'd be, because if he's reaching for him in the car.
No clothing there, it'd be gunpowder residue.
Yep, there'd be gunpowder residue. There'd have to be.
Have to be.
If you go out shooting a gun, you have to, you know, you wash your hands afterwards, and you have stuff over it.
Correct.
It's not adding up, and it definitely shows that something happened that wasn't supposed to, that shouldn't have happened.
Right. And the last two shots, he spun around. He has to be facing forward at that point. He has to be bending over and probably falling down. Because I want to tell you, yeah, you get shot with a 9 or 10 millimeter pistol, man, it hurts. And you've got, the thumb shot would have hurt like the dickens. I mean, the nerves and that part of your hand, I mean, that would have been excruciating. And then while the flesh wound to the forearm might have been, okay, that really hurt, but, you know, I can survive that. But the right above the elbow on the lower part of the bicep, and then to be shot in the armpit and come out through your chest, you're not, you know.
Well,
you're going to spin around in agony at that point. You're going to try to beg this officer to stop shooting at you. And spun him around, and he was falling down, and that's what happened with the last two shots.
We actually, Glenn's on the phone, and yep. he might know a little bit more about this than what I know.
Yeah, let's take Glenn. Hello, Glenn. We're playing junior pathologist here, but I'm sure you've looked at the drawings that Mr. Baden provided.
I've been so swamped with work, I haven't had time to. But just listening to what you're saying, you know, what the progression you're talking about, you know, mm-hmm. does make perfect sense. But I'm not quite sure why the pathologist would want to, you know, misstate, you know, a possible obvious scenario.
I would say that the reason that he would do so is twofold. One is that the drawings that he uses and the way that the body is laid on the table, when you're laid on a table and the arms are stretched out, everything would have looked like from the front. And the drawing, the way they have the hands facing forward down, is contorted when the body normally does. That would also be looked like from the front, but it's just not the way people move, and it doesn't explain the exit wounds. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. As I consider what we have learned, and it is a crime, I think, that information is being withheld by the FBI, by the U.S. Justice Department, and by the police force. And Ferguson, they have no right in this case here. Tell the people what can be known. We ought to know if there was a toxicology report done on Wilson, if there were photographs of Wilson, if he has signs of a struggle, we ought to hear and read Wilson's statement. We ought to have Wilson's full account. We ought to know how many rounds were fired and what the caliber of the gun was that Wilson was using. We ought to know those things. I mean, this is a major incident in America right now, and it is being framed by some of the most outspoken supporters of racism in the country. They have the President of the United States coming out and says, you know, we need a referendum on racism in America based on Ferguson. And yet, if you look at what evidence we do have, this didn't begin as a racist incident. It was turned into a racist incident by racists like Jesse Jackson, like Al Sharpton, like the attorney that represents that represented Trayvon Martin by the President of the United States, by U.S. congressmen. They're responsible for making this racist.
Are you speaking of black racism against Indians? No, I mean, because it started with a black man roughing up an Indian man.
That's true.
So, yeah, seems like to me there's a racist element there.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to look at that one, too. And as you know, the what the obvious is that the store owner could have been Swahili, and it wouldn't have made a difference so long as Michael Brown towered over him and could intimidate him. That was his relative size is why Michael Brown was so threatening to him. He's a punk. I mean, somebody who uses relative size to threaten and assault somebody is a scumbag. I mean, did he deserve to die? Of course not.
No, but that doesn't entitle him to be lionized rather than demonized.
That is correct. This is a punk. This is not a good kid. You are a scummy individual when you not only rob a convenience store, but assault and try to intimidate its owner. That's not a good person. That is a scumbag. This guy is not an innocent victim. He is a victim. He's not an innocent victim. Now,
when do scoundrels become saints?
Well, Trayvon Martin was turned into it by the President of the United States, and he was a scoundrel.
At their funerals, right. Scoundrels become saints at their funerals.
Yeah. You know what's an amazing thing, too, here is that the original angle that I took on this, which is this is another sign of police overreacting. They're becoming too belligerent. It's a shoot-first mentality. It's a way too many policemen coming in surrounded by too many ex-military vets and looking at the people, at citizens as the enemy. Wilson is absolutely wrong in this case. I mean, there is no question in my mind that he shot him while he was running away. And that he was shooting, the gun was rising, and that ultimately it spun Brown around, and that the last two shots hit him facing forward, one below the eye, one on the top of the head as he was falling down. And there's no excuse for that. And this is a man that's going to spend a long time in prison for what he did.
I wanted to mention the topic yesterday from the idea of an execution style.
Yes.
I was going to point out, when we say that these days, we tend to think of gangland, point blank, you know, smoke bomb, up close and personal. But I would remind you that a firing squad executes a person who certainly doesn't end up with any smoke burns on them. That, you know, from a firing squad or from a distance, and it's still an execution. So you don't have to be at point blank range to execute someone.
But keep in mind, too, that what you're talking about here differs radically depending on the weapon being used. The execution style killings that are done at a distance are almost universally done with rifles. And the execution style killings that are at close range are almost universally done with pistols. And so this man was wielding a pistol, and so when you wield a pistol execution style is universally close range.
Yes, but when I'm we're talking about my point being that the word execution implies it has more to do with the volition involved. Okay, if someone's shooting at someone merely in what, but one could make an argument that the previous shots, you know, were meant to stop, you know, the person. Theoretically, anytime you shoot someone, you should know that you could kill them, but. You know, I don't care if he's 20 yards away, when someone's 20 yards away and he stopped and you deliberately shoot him in the head to kill him as a volitional act, that is, by definition, an execution.
Yeah, a cop should never shoot a man running away from him. A cop should never shoot a man whose palms he can clearly see and that they're holding no weapon. A cop should not continue to shoot at a man who is at a distance from him, who is no threat to him, and unload his pistol at him. I mean, there is absolutely no excuse for what Wilson
Wilson, well, furthermore, I would speculate, presume to speculate, that Wilson shot Brown because dead men tell no tales, and it's a common, conventional wisdom that you're better off killing someone you've shot than allowing them to live and sue you in a civil court later. You know, I think he did so to muddy the waters deliberately because dead men tell no tales, can't tell his own story. That's why he shot him.
Yeah, you know, Wilson has a really troubled upbringing. We don't know enough about Wilson to even comment on his personal life, but we can on his upbringing. He was raised by his mother, who was in and out of jail, who was a constant menace to her son and to herself. And, you know, we often talk about the victims of abuse become abusers, and that those who would be prone to abuse are naturally drawn to areas where they have firearms, whether it be the military or to the police force. There's a lot of police abuse now, just as we've seen a lot of military abuse. And this is a serious problem for our country. And, you know, if you continue to unravel this, the situation right now in Ferguson looks like a war zone. There are hundreds of uniformed officers, both National Guard and police, wearing black outfits and black helmets with assault rifles and armored personnel carriers. This is not what America ought to be. Stay with us, Glenn. We have Bob calling in from Michigan as well that wants to speak about Ferguson.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you a few questions about your conclusions. You thought that the one of the rounds from the officer spun the subject around?
Right.
Why would that happen? Why do you think that a bullet hitting a body would spin the body around?
Because the bullet entered the far right extreme of the body and exited through the far right extreme of the body, and there's an enormous amount of force on a 9 or a 10 millimeter cartridge.
Oh,
and if you're not talking about spinning somebody around by shooting a bullet at their core. These were all on the right arm. So what you've got here is you've got four pictures, four bullet wounds that could really only have, with the fourth one, only being possible from behind.
Well,
and then you've got two that are only possible from forward. So you have to have the body spin around. There's no other way to explain the drawings that we were given.
Excuse me, a bullet does not spin a body around by force. Excuse me.
I agree.
There are a lot of factors here. A bullet does not spin a body around. Not exert enough force to do that. So you're wrong.
I would have to agree.
Now, a couple other things. Are you assuming in your analysis of the forensic report a bullet travels in a straight line once it enters a body?
No.
Okay.
No, it doesn't have to. It can hit a bone.
You realize that a bullet can fragment and become multiple projectiles once it enters.
Yeah, but there's no way that you can have a bullet do a 180 degree ricochet
If it strikes a bone, anything's possible.
It's not coming back at you. Come on, that's just ridiculous.
Wait. Okay,
that's ridiculous.
Just a second, please. If I may.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, now, hang on. Okay. All right, now, even if you were to concede the spinning around thing, he still could have very well, of his own volition or because he was there, he may have turned to face him. He may, you know, realizing he's hit so many times, it may well be he decided to turn and face him.
I think both is true.
This is all conjecture, though. See?
Well, everything's conjecture.
That's the only thing you can do. You've got a drawing, and you try to match the entry and exit wounds, and there's only one possibility for the armpit nipple entry and exit wound, and the best explanation of the other four on the arm is exactly as I've described it. There is no, and then the last two have to have him facing forward. and falling down. So it's, that's the way that you, I mean, anything that you do in life, you have evidence, and then you have to view that evidence to come to the most rational and logical conclusions.
Okay.
And recognizing this is a very crude document, and that we ought to have much better information available to us, based upon this drawing, that's the most reasonable conclusion.
Yeah, okay, but if you're correct, then other experienced pathologists and forensic pathologists will back you up. But
right, well, it's not. In other words, when the diagram's presented, it's presented in what you're seeing there is called standard anatomical position. You know, with a whereas, and you have to remember that. You know, you're right. As the patient's left, it's the patient is facing you. You know, and they're using like a standard diagram. So, you know, then you know, you could do a CAD-CAM drawing, a three-dimensional moving CAD-CAM drawing that
correct.
Could easily present this in three dimensions for the possibilities or probabilities of the shot hit.
Correct, and that's what we really ought to have be able to see. This guy is supposed to be the among the best in his field. And we ought to see that as opposed to a crude paper drawing with all entry and some exit wounds. This is really it's a sad state of affairs that we were given. And we're just trying to make the best conclusion based on the facts. It is interesting looking at these pictures that there are four shots up the arm. And since he has got a forward and backwards view of the individual. He only has one of those shots with an exit wound, and it's through the right nipple. The others, he does not have an exit wound drawn on the backside. Also, if you look at the location on the drawing, the only one that could have hit a bone would have been the small bones in the thumb. The one on the bicep is to the far extreme of the arm, away from its center core where the bone is. The one above and the bicep is absolutely on the far extreme. And the one in the armpit, same position. So no bone in any one of those other than the possibility of a small bone in the thumb, but there's no exit wound there. It looks like it was a diagonal wound there. And so the ones where you would expect them to a bullet to bounce around, and by the way, this is a, you know, please don't use hollow point. They don't use rounds that are designed to tumble. They don't. This is not military kind of maximum damage kind of weaponry. But the one that hit the eye clearly hit bone, and it bounced around and it came out through the chin and in the chest. And we are told that the bullet that went in for the very top of his head, which means he had to be either bending down or falling down, is still lodged in his brain.
Right. And they don't use hollow points, but they probably use copper jacketed rounds, which decreases the probability of fragmentation.
Yes.
What is that?
It doesn't.
Cop jacketing doesn't decrease probability of fragmentation as opposed to
what a copper jacket?
Down.
No.
More than a lead.
What a bullet does when it strikes an object depends very much about on the construction of the bullet. There are many different types of bullet types.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know for sure exactly what ammunition this
officer has. Police officer,
and that would have a big bearing on the ballistics, the terminal ballistics that the bullet
is in. Was it a wad cutter or a semi-wad cutter or a round tip? Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. But, you know, in law enforcement, it's a different scenario than in hunting or personal defense. It would be, in my view, and I don't know what the laws are, but it would be criminal in my view for law enforcement to shoot rounds that are designed to fragment or rounds that are a hollow point. And you know, that to me would seem criminal. But I don't know what the status of the law is, what they can and can't shoot.
That's commonly done. It's commonly done. In fact, the police commonly have ammunition that is even deadlier than what's available to civilians. They, I'm trying to think of the.
You're talking about laser safety slugs, the fragmentation rounds.
Yep.
This obviously was not those, because those were called a surgeon's nightmare, and they would have fragmented him to like powder that would have left a big mush with every hit.
Yeah. There's some that fragment into a jagged claw-like projectile that just tears flesh terribly.
Here's an interesting point.
You know, the accuracy of pathology reports has been called into question for years, ever since the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very interesting that they've called for three different opinions.
Correct.
So these...
Yeah. And one of the opinions has not been, at least to my knowledge, we don't have information from two of the three, other than there was an unauthorized report from the county's investigation that says that and it's a woman that was the unofficial spokesperson, says that she disagrees with Mr. Baden's findings. But the Justice Department has not yet reported. I think the Justice Department was the last to do an autopsy, and they have not yet reported.
Yeah, the very fact that they're calling for multiple ones tells us something about the
I for one welcome this, because we've seen so many instances of medical examiners being blackmailed, bribed, bullied, and bought off.
Right.
That, you know, we've had medical examiners say the guy shot twice in the back of the head were suicide. We don't want that.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to know how many rounds did he have in his magazine? How many rounds did he shoot? What kind of caliber handgun was he firing? What kind of ballistics are we dealing with here? There's lots of things that we'd like to know.
You need to hear the officer's side of the story.
Absolutely. And the fact that it hasn't been reported on a story that's tearing the nation apart, I think is inexcusable.